go to any well-run restaurant, it's headed by people who are clean and neat. And they don't run out of goods. They don't run out of chicken. They don't run out of they don't run out of anything. And I watched. I even wonder, how could they do this? They have people in lines all day long, and they never run out of anything. I never seen a McDonald's run out of a Big Mac or a fish, a flare fish, because they are trained well. But if you put a sloppy person in charge, you're going to have sloppiness. They're going to run out of lettuce. They're not going to have change sometimes. You know it. But see, the Lord he don't select somebody to operate under the anointing any kind of way. The people who didn't enter into the greater glories, they're going to have to stay where they are. Their ministry can't go any further. Now they're still doing good, but God can't trust them with greater knowledge, because they're not trained for it. But people who hear these broadcasts, all I'm doing is pointing out what you got to do. If you follow God from this point on, God's going to train you, and you're going to help reap the harvest. And then I was concerned about the pastors that didn't go forward. He said, if they follow me now, he'll use them. But they can't be trusted to be at... That's why Jesus said, many that are first will be many last, and many that are last will be first. Some people, they stop entering into the greater glories. First, you got to spit the hook out of your mouth. Some people they swallow something of Satan. And I mean that Satan, something of Satan, either something that holds back, something's keeping them from going to the next glory. When greater knowledge is revealed, they stay on the outskirts. You can't just write God a blank check and say, I'll do all this in his heart, without rejecting everything of Satan. I do both. I said, Lord, I will do all this in his heart. I will do all this in the heart of God for me to do. And I reject everything that's like Satan's got to go. I won't be hindered. You know, I gave the illustration a few weeks ago how sometimes when you're crappie fishing, the crappie's lips are so loose, you know, you have to let them get tired. You let them run with a slack line, and you ease them in. You keep just enough tension on it to tire them out. Then you can get them on in. And that's what Satan do to people. If you agree with him on anything, he will definitely use it to keep you out of the next glory, because you've passed all the tests to get to the point where God is trying to get you to come on to the next glory, which is to follow him. Let him be your head. Let him, don't do anything without his guidance. And people that do that, they do better. But then sometimes people get to a certain point and stop. Now there's a charge. He wants to charge his people with. There are anointings. Years ago, I seen Jesus sitting at his desk. I just saw his hand, and he was doing his fingers kind of like he was waiting on a phone call. But he wasn't waiting on a phone call. His hand was resting on a stack of papers. And if you can hear the sound of my fingers, he was doing that, just waiting. He wanted to pass out assignments, but there was nobody to give them to, because people weren't training to follow him. They were doing what their predecessors did. Now, some of the people that's following God, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're learning and growing. But the people that God select for this great move of God, it's more than a revival. This is a move of God. He's selecting people that will obey him to the T, relentlessly. And this charge will work when nothing else will. Satan sits back and watches us, folks. He learns how to undo what we're doing in people that know not. He can't do anything with the people that's properly trained. But guess what happens to people? They die. They get old. And people, they train to a certain point, then they die away. But there are people out there who love God and they are praying earnestly to do all that's in his heart, just like I am. And they're the ones God can work with. I once asked a Sunday school class, what is the greatest gift you can ever give God? Some said your heart. Yeah, that's a good one. Your mind, your heart and mind. Yeah, that's good. Wonderful. Go do it. Offerings, yeah, that'll get you blessed, but it won't do everything. And I let them just, you can even listen to it if you find the Fresh Start Breakfast Club when I asked them. But what I was looking for was your attention. If you can give God your attention, you can learn from him. You can learn anything from him if you give him your attention. And some people don't want to do that because they're afraid that he might give them something to do. So guess what? That kind of immaturity, you're not going forward, period. But people that want to do whatever it takes, people that's relentless, that have relentless sincerity, they have perfect balance and they can. Now, I said something that probably ruffled the feathers of everybody that heard me. People want to do what Catherine Kuhlman did, and she said, well, you got to give God everything. And that kind of lowered the numbers. Another man said the same thing. Who would pay the price? The man that started the Welsh Revival. And I said, you do give God everything. That's what I do. I write a blank check. But I want to share something. What I meant was, you don't have to labor in prayer every day, all day, to do the same thing. And this is why I say that. They had to fight against all the mindsets of the day. They had to break through. A. Abrams did. He fasted a lot and prayed a lot, just like Jesus prayed all night before he chose his disciples. Sometimes you're going to have all-nighters and all-dayers and all-nighters. You're going to have 40-day fast, all of it. Whatever it takes, you do. But you let God guide you in what to do. That's the difference. Now, I've heard other people that, Kenneth Hagin said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. He's right. You can't do these things without a relationship with God. You're trying to fight an enemy that's smarter than you. Toe to toe he is. But not if you do it God's. If you use God's strength and if you use God's wisdom, knowledge, power, might, and counsel, you can always overcome it. That's the difference. You can be married and have 10 children and still follow God. Henry Groover had 13. He was married and had 13 children, and he still managed to do all that God gave him to do. And when you listen to his testimonies, he made very few mistakes. He made some. He prayer walked the place he wasn't supposed to, but God graced him anyway. But for the most part, he did miracles follow his ministry, signs and wonders, great miracles. And when you follow God, folks, that's better. Now, he fasted a lot. Before he went prayer walking, he fasted. He never had a problem. He could go anywhere in the world. But he prepared him. The Lord trained him how to prepare. Other people tried to go with him. And when the plane enters the atmosphere where they were going, they got sick. Because the principalities of those places, they didn't know how to fight them. But Henry Gruber was trained. And everybody needed to listen to his testimonies. He was a wonderful man of God. And he went on to be with the Lord in 2019, end of 2019. Now, God loves us. And he has so much to say to us. The charge that Jesus is going to give, it takes people that's willing to do everything it takes, just like Colonel George E. Warren Jr. He cleaned up the streets of New York. Now, I know he didn't do biblical stuff, a ministry, but what he did helped people live to get saved another day. People were dying of common diseases that were preventable only because of filth they died. And he was well organized, just like I was saying, like a restaurant manager. Any organization, If they're if, the person is if they're in charge long enough, it would take on their personality. And the people who was in charge of something long enough can leave a legacy, just like the man who franchised McDonald's. He found a good thriving restaurant and franchised it, and he did a good job. And a friend of mine that's a McDonald's manager, he said everybody wants to hire a McDonald's manager because they know how to make, they follow the good pattern. The same thing is going to happen to the body of Christ. If you get somebody, and then the talents of God and the anointing, God gives it to people according to their several ability. Just like with the parable of the talent. One, he gave one 5, he doubled it and made it 10. He gave one 2, he doubled it and made it 4. Then one guy buried his talent in the dirt. Gave it to his master when he came back. And he took that and gave it to the one who was the most faithful. And sometimes men of God, women of God, they range in their ways. But if you follow God totally, you'll be able, if you do it in the right window of time. Timing is very important. If you wait too long to be trained, you can't be hired for something great. You'll miss the charge. God is fishing for people who will follow him thoroughly. And it's all, you know, I long for all these pastors to follow God and the ones I know now. But I learned something else about the Lord. If people are reluctant, he'll rather for me to allow them to be reluctant. Don't clue them in. Leave them alone. And I know, I said, man, I don't want to leave them. They're too valuable. And I if I don't have an anointing to, if God don't give me instruction, I don't say anything. One pastor, he said, he used to give me words all the time. You have to be faithful. God will stop. God will stop. If you're not faithful, he'll stop talking. If everything went to a stalemate and you want to find out why, go back to the last thing the Lord spoke to you about and begin to be faithful. You have to go back and find where you left off. And if it's not too late, the Lord will pick up. If you miss your opportunity and you present yourself a living sacrifice like you should have all along, the Lord will give you something else to do, but it just won't be as good as what he originally had in mind. Because the anointing, some anointings, it requires you to train before you can receive the charge. Because this time, God will not. Now, a lady wrote a book. Fuchsia Pickett wrote it. I used to quote it. I got it right here. And I'll close reading what she said. Now, she was talking about the anointing that happened, the networking of churches. This happened. Kenneth Hagin was a great part of what she talked about in this book. Now, she didn't mention his name, of course, but I know what happened. She wrote this book, I think it was 1961. And she did this before I was born in 63. Okay. She wrote what I'm about to read to you if I find it. She wrote this before I was born. And let's see. The Lord showed her a hydroelectric power plant. And just like he networked those power plants through water. He was going to network churches. I read this part, page 11. He said, somehow I understood that he was flowing his living water only to the churches where deep wells and reservoirs had been dug. In the vision, I saw pipes being placed underground from one fountainhead to another, from church to church. And the pipes formed a network of churches connecting those with deep wells that he had dug and filled with his living water, the living word. And I wished it, and then she said, I wished it was going to all churches, but I realized that many churches could not tap into this living water because they had no reservoir. And I heard the words, deep calleth unto deep. at the noise of thy waterspouts. She quoted Psalm 42:7. She said in 63 there was little evidence of such networking of the churches and ministers. Nevertheless, I understood that he was showing me a network of churches that had been dug out through which he would flow his great flood of truth. The digging would happen as pastors and believers obeyed God and allowed the dealings of God to work in their lives. By their yielded obedience, the Holy Spirit and his word, they would become reservoirs of truth. From these churches, his power would flow throughout all the world. Which it did. There are Rhema graduates all over the world. Continuing, she said, although no specific cities were named, I saw five geological areas within the United States that would become vital centers for this divine power. When a vast network of churches had been filled with the living water, God would pull a great switch and open all the gates of truth that have been dammed by man, you know, religious ideologies. She didn't say that. I added that. She continued. She said, I saw the release of stream after stream of truth that God wanted to flow freely in the church. But that truth had been dammed up behind denominational walls erected by man. She did say that. Now, I got saved in 83. The charismatic movement was in those days, early 80s, late 70s, you know. So what happened, TBN came on the scene, and then the gospel started going around the world, and unadulterated faith gospel started flowing. And in the 80s, all throughout the 80s and early 90s, I listened to the radio and the whole city got blessed. People all over the city got blessed by men of God that was teaching things properly. Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. And then they got, you know, Charles Capps used to talk about all the angry letters that religious people were seeing, telling them that they was wrong because the mind of man, you know, they treated them with love. Now they had maturity. It helped me. And I learned when people don't agree with you, don't make them, don't, you know, stay balanced. Love everybody just like God loves you. Now, what I wanted to share with you, she's dealing with Absalom's betrayal. She's dealing with the Absalom spirit. Now, this is chapter 5, Absalom's betrayal, unresolved office. In page 49, she said, Absalom, King David's son, betrayed his father by stealing the hearts of men of the men of Israel and leading them to revolt against their king. And then she said, the Absalom spirit of betrayal is attacking churches today. And remember, Paul said the way of truth is evil spoken of, and a lot of times it's by tares and unknowledgeable Christians. Deceive people. Speaking things they shouldn't. So I'm going to show you this. I'm going to end with this, if God let me. God gave her a warning. Now, I'm skipping a lot of good information. Now, this book is called The Next Move of God. Now, this is written by Fuchsia Pickett. I heard her preach at the church at Gardendale in the 90s. Wonderful lady of God. But she spoke this way before, some of it before I was born, and some of it when I was just a baby. So me and her never talked about this. But the revelation that God gave me mirrors this. All right. On page 61. God gave a warning to her. See, men and women of God can be anointed, and men don't be surprised at what a woman can do. They're not limited. Anybody that's anointed, they don't have limits. They're only limited by whatever's in their mind and time. And time really don't limit us because we can leave a legacy. Just like the man at Croc that. that franchise McDonald's. You can leave a legacy. And I'm reading her work. She's been going to be with the Lord years from now, many years ago. Her work is still being done. I'm reading it, and you're not going to forget this, because this is very important, and you're going to love it. Look at the warning that God gave her way back then. God spoke a startling message to me one night as I was ministering in a church in North Carolina. He declared, I will not allow anyone who touches my plan, my program, my prophets, or my prophecy to be part of or participate in the next move of God. When I read this, let me finish this paragraph. She said, I immediately recognized the book of Jude in outline form in that statement. He had mentioned four of the seven steps that led the church into apostasy. I realized that there are sins committed against God that are much worse than sins we commit against our fellow man. It is not a light matter to be involved in criticism or betrayal of an anointed servant of God. If you want to get left out, talk about God's people negatively, because God would not give this holy, precious anointing to people that will foul-mouth each other. See, when people do negative stuff and people talk about people, I like what Kenneth Copeland said. He said, my ears ain't no trash can. And I watch YouTube videos, and there are people who go through the ranks, and if you follow anybody around, the enemy going to accuse people. And people are doing videos about great men of God and women of God, talking about how they are outside the spotlight. I don't watch that crap. First of all, I know how the enemy did me. And I know how the enemy has done others. And he'll raise up people and entice them to do stuff like that. I know that whatever people do in private, it'll be shouted on the rooftop. Jesus said that, and that's so. But guess what? The accuser is still out there lying on people. And my ears is not a trash can. If something don't look right like I want it to look, that don't mean anything. God has a purpose. People get upset with ministers because of the planes that they get. I was listening to Jerry Savelle. A prophet came to him when he first started ministering. Now, that was a need. He had a word, and God needed him to be at certain places all over the United States. And it would have been a burden to drive there. And the prophet, if I remember right, he said, airplane, airplane, airplane. And then his pastor said, fly, fly, fly. And this was a word from God. There are people, just like Fuchsia Pickett talk about, some churches are reservoir. They have a reservoir. They listen. They want to know God for real. They pray and fast and seek the Lord. So when they hear a man like Kenneth Hagin, they overcome their religious doctrines, their anti-Christian religious doctrines, and I put it that way, because an attack against faith is you cutting your lifeline. We are righteous because of faith. Because Abraham believed God, God accounted it to him for righteousness. And God just don't leave. It's not God's nature to leave, to half save you. He give you the whole kingdom. You just got to learn how to operate in it. And some people learn to operate the principles unto the point that they get airplane. Now, what's the difference between them getting an airplane and me getting a Mustang? To a man that has nothing but a wagon or a bicycle, you know, I'm wealthy in their eyes. But God can bless us in any stage of our life. And that's the point. Whatever God give you, use it to the glory of God. But the accuser While he's accusing these men of God and tempting people to accuse them themselves so that they can't be blessed by him, you know, he's stealing people's billions. He's stealing from the nations. He's stealing tax money and building weapons to kill folks. That hypocrite, Satan. But see, God has a protocol. He's raising up people that will follow him, that will do his will, that will train properly. That you can pray all day. You can create formats. You can pray all day, every day, if you want to. But the format of following God is better than something you manufacture. That's the point. And there's an easy way to do everything. Once you agree, you know, laboring in prayer, there are different types of prayer. That's when you disagree. That's when you mourn instead of listening to songs. You know, like Ecclesiastes says, it's better to mourn in the house of God than to sing the song of fools. It's not time to sing the song of fools when you disagree with God. You get that fixed. Once you're in agreement, everything is better. And you commune with the Lord, and the Lord talk to you, and you cooperate, and you want to. You don't have to break through. All your negative thoughts and opinions can be put to death. All the temptations of the enemy can be driven out, just like the Canaanites. Now you don't have interference, and you follow the peace, and you can make godly decisions. Once Jesus got this right, once he got with the Father, the next day was a breeze. The things you do in life so the anointing can mount up on you is easy to do. It's always easy. It's just living in agreement with the Lord and keeping him first. You pray when you have to. You spend time with your Father. But you definitely obey his protocols. Now, once God showed me a protocol, I stuck with it. Even when I wanted to do something different. Even when I wanted to go out of bounds and show people stuff that God didn't sanction me to show them, I had to refrain from that. And then I had to stop praying for that. I kept praying and the Lord wouldn't give me anything else, so I had to respect that. Because this charge is going to be done perfectly, and it's going to be done by somebody. And I can't see all the people that listen to these broadcasts, but I know you're out there because the Lord tells me reports. So continue to consider these things, everything. Listen to it again and again. Get a firm understanding. Whatever God put in your heart, listen to it, and then relate to him about it. You know, how you going to know without a preacher? I'm doing my job so you can do yours. And you're going to do greater things than me. And I thank God for that. That's what I want to have all over the earth. I want us to take as many people out of here as possible. I want to leave Satan with nothing to govern over. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Stay in covenant. Stay in faith. Stay in victory.